All right, let's get some scriptures out. Matthew 9, 9 through 10 is going to be our main passage. And IL, if you'll get that for us, Matthew 9, 9 through 10. Brian Mitchell, if you'll get Matthew 9, 9. Luke 15 and verse 7. Phil, if you'll get that, Luke 15, 7. And then Matthew 9 and verse 10. Get one more reader here. Lem, if you'll get that for us. Matthew 9 and verse 10. We often pray for key converts. We contend for key conversions. And why do we pray that? Is because key converts can open up doors or unlock doors for more people to be reached. And so one of the ways we can identify who a key convert is through follow-up. See, a new convert might not be able to see their full potential for impact, but as you follow up on them, it's amazing how doors begin to open. So in our passage that we're going to look at this morning, and I want to do a number of lessons about follow-up, Jesus calls one who introduces him to more. And that happens, as we're going to see in our passage, through follow-up. So let's read Matthew 9, verses 9 through 10.
As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. Now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house that, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples.
Okay, follow-up lessons. This is number one here. Let's look at this here. Laboring, let's talk firstly about laboring for one. Our passage is a reminder that sometimes we labor for the one. Think about this. In our context of our passage, Jesus, he's ministering to crowds. He's reaching a wide range of people. He is healing the sick. But then he focuses just on one. Matthew 9 and verse 9.
As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at a tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him.
Okay, so here again, ministering, making impact, but as he's passing, he focuses on the one. Now, this is lessons for us. As much as we love to reach many people, we want to reach a people group. We want to be able to make impact. Maybe that's a team, a high school team, a college group, a job group, fill in the blank. As much as we want to reach a wide and many people, we also need to see the value and rejoice in the one. And that's a tension. It pulls both ways. God is into both. Luke 15, 7.
Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance.
Okay, this is the balance of God. He reaches the multitudes. He draws, and we read scriptures of revival and harvest where the plowman overtakes the reaper. And what that means is when they go to plow the field again, they're still reaping the harvest because it's so great. We want that, but God also says, and heaven rejoices over one. So it's a tension, it's a balance. So it's important for us to rejoice in the one. But why can we rejoice in the one? Because there's potential in the one. There's always a potential in a person. They always, you can never look beyond that. Don't despise the one. But let's think, why do some despise the one? Some despise it, number one, because of pride. Well, who will notice me if I only reach one? Who will talk about me if I only reach one? who will be excited if there's only just one. But that's a pride thing, right? You want to fill and have, you know, all these people with you, and then pastor will notice, and, you know, all these different things in our pride. So we can miss. Some despise the one because of misunderstanding. Like I'm talking about right now, this tension. I want revival, not just one, but revival could come through one. Right? Pastor Wayman Mitchell would be an amazing example of that. My father-in-law in Palmdale, California, young a teen got saved and now going into his senior year, but he's prayed with, some insane number, 600 people, holding Bible study groups at the high school where it grew so large they had to use the gym for the Bible study group. Wow. Because one can reach many. One can, but that's a misunderstanding. No, we have to have multitudes. Sometimes people can despise the one because of lack. In other words, barrenness can really twist a person, and they begin to overlook the one because they want more. Barrenness, rather than rejoicing in that one, but I want 99. And so we can get in our hearts twisted up and miss the potential. But our passage, Jesus, he's showing us the value. As he's ministering to multitudes, as he's healing the sick and teaching and preaching, in passing Matthew, follow me. Here's one who would become a disciple, who would become an apostle, who would write this gospel that we are learning from today, the value of one. So let's think secondly then about follow-up opportunities. Not only does Jesus show us the value of one, he shows us the value of follow-up with the one. From the moment right here, verse 9, Jesus calls Matthew, and you know, the Bible doesn't give us every single detail about everything. So follow me, and the very next verse, and then he was at Matthew's table. Right? In other words, he's immediately following up on this, making the most of an opportunity for relationship. We need to understand the highlight of follow-up is relationship. That's what needs to be highlighted. And when you meet with people you're working with, when you meet with the one that you're working with, you're meeting with them to get to know them. You're meeting with them to build relationship. You're meeting with them to build bridges with them, get to know them and who they are. And if you look at the harmony of this story, we're reading in Matthew, but if you look at Mark and Luke, they all say, in essence, the same thing, that Jesus sat at the table and ate with him. There wasn't, and Jesus corrected Matthew, or the tax collectors, or the sinners. There isn't a teaching that we read about in all three of those gospels. There isn't a questioning from Jesus. Right? It's just there at the table. So Jesus simply took an opportunity. This is what we can take or infer based on what we read. Jesus just took an opportunity to follow up with a new convert, to sit at a table with them, to share a meal with them, to get to know them. So why do some miss the opportunity of follow up? Right? Jesus shows us the value of one. Jesus shows us the value of following up with the one. But why would we miss that? Number one, because follow-up takes time. Right? It always, no matter what or how you're following up, it always requires extra attention and extra time. So you have to be intentional about follow-up. And Jesus was intentional. I remember being, you know, a disciple and then being on staff as concert director. And, you know, just you're in contact with Pastor Greg about new converts and you're working with people. And you know, every now and then, hey, have you ever followed up on? No, has anybody? I don't think so. Why? Usually it was time. We have to be intentional about follow-up. And some people, they think they don't have time when really it's you prioritize it. Secondly, some miss the opportunity of follow-up because follow-up takes skill. And in this case, it's people skills. And sometimes people can feel like, I am not good at it. I'm not good at people skills. I'm not good at one-on-one with people. I'm not comfortable with that. That's fine. So you find ways to develop that skill. Maybe you invite that new convert out with someone else that's easy for you. And now you both can be following up. And, you know, conversation never really gets awkward and silent. You know, you've been those moments like, this is good. Yep. Right? But you get someone that you're easy with, that you can laugh with or joke with, and that helps, right? But you have to start somewhere. So involving someone else in your follow-up, just as you're getting good at, listen, you know, so-and-so's good at follow-up. I want to have them over with this new convert. I want to see how they interact with them. People seem to like them. Why? So, but it's a skill that must be developed. But there's some men never develop this skill because they never step out because I'm just not good at it. But you have to start somewhere. Then thirdly, follow-up takes investment. And this is one that can really, you know, push people away. And what I mean by that is some think in follow-up, you have to make a five-course, five-star meal for a new convert. That's got to be something extravagant and is going to be just amazing. And you know what? You can just keep it simple. Because it's more about making contact, keeping that relationship going. It's about you showing yourself friendly and building a relationship. I remember a new convert getting saved in New York, and just simple acts of civil kindness. And he said these words, I'll never forget. He said, no one has ever treated me this nice. It's just one of those things, like, it just stood out, and it wasn't anything extravagant. It wasn't anything, you know, expensive. It was just basic people skills 101, but it stood out. So you think, I have to have this, and then I got to do that, and they got to have this, you know, fine dining. And you know what? Who doesn't like a root beer float? Right? What does a gallon of ice cream cost at Walmart? Great value brand. You know, nobody's going to, what brand is it? I don't want it, you know? And if they're like that, well, then they're bougie, and they can get their own ice cream. But really, right? A root beer float. You get a 2-liter and pop, and it's just because you're just connecting with people. It's just something to connect over. That's all. You can keep it simple, but sometimes, again, we allow all these different things in our head stop us from that opportunity. Jesus calls Matthew. The one is valuable. Jesus follows up. Because follow-up is valuable. Then let's close. It makes opportunity for more. The highlight of this passage is that one follow-up meal leads to more opportunity with people that Matthew was connected to. Let's read Matthew 9 and verse 10.
Now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house that, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples.
Okay, again, from just calling him at the tax booth to now he is at his table, that's the follow-up, that's the value, but then the highlight, the climax of this story, and behold, many, many tax collectors and many sinners came and sat down with him. People that the one was connected to, people that Matthew was connected to, Matthew brought more to Jesus. Again, that's just the potential and the possibility when you rejoice in the one and follow up on the one. And the valuable lesson here is one can open up for many. The new convert might not see it fully, what they're doing. Hey, I want you to meet my family. Oh, yeah, sure. And then, you know, they're Mexican, so they've got a huge family, right? So they might not fully recognize what they're doing. They just know, hey, this guy's friendly. He's a Christian. I'm saved. More people got to know about this. They might not fully understand it, but it connects you. And as you show yourself friendly, as you show yourself interested, as you show yourself compassionate, they will want to connect you to more. Family, friends, friend groups, teammates, fill in the blank. It can open up more opportunities. So the challenge this morning is, what is the snapshot of your follow-up ministry? What does it look like today? When's the last time you invested in a new convert? I know sometimes we go to fellowships and whatnot. You're fellowshipping with your brethren. You're fellowshipping with people that are common to you. They have your likes. They have your interests. And that's fine. We need friends. That could be a whole nother lesson, right? But follow up. When's the last time you invested in a new convert? When's the last time you invested in a new believer? How are you serving new converts in follow-up? Maybe if you're connected to a follow-up fellowship, you know, sometimes our concert directors, they'll hold these. And what winds up happening is people wind up with their own. That's not the point. The point is you go and make an investment. Make a connection with someone new. How are you serving the one? Do you have eyes for the opportunities that are all around you? Are you building bridges with those around you? Do you have a genuine heart for it? And again, follow-up might not just, it may not just be people that have prayed. There's always just opportunities in a way to follow up that can go a long way. That can speak volumes, where you build a simple bridge and now a door gets opened. An opportunity happens. And it's all around you. Okay, let's open it up for questions there. Follow-up lessons. Yeah, Tony?
So after you follow up, like with a meal or whatever, and it ends, what do you do after that? Do you keep doing it? Asking for a meal, or
you keep inviting them. You see, that's the whole point, right? You can't look at it in the context of, hey, I did check, meal, check. Carne asada, check. Root beer float, pastor said that, check. Right? It's not a, you know, just do these steps. It's gotta be in you. So again, in seeing the value of one and the potential of one, what do you need? You need a heart for people and a passion for souls. So when I'm working with people or investing in people, I'm always looking for more opportunities of relationship. Tony, when you are building relationship with people, right? Like you said, I had a meal, now what? Well, how does building relationship look, right? It's continuous. You get with them again. You meet up with them. You find out what they're interested in. Right? There's things that I've done or gotten involved in that, you know, maybe aren't what I want to do, but hey, this is interesting to them. This is valuable to them. This is important to them. Right? And as you show yourself friendly, it goes a long way, right? And you build more relationship each time. Then they get to the point, yeah, I don't really understand everything the pastor preaches, but I know I like it. I don't really understand everything that's happening in church or why they do it all, but I know that I'm interested. And I like Tony. He's nice. So relationship, they'll fall in love with you until they fall in love with your Jesus. You're keeping them coming. You're investing in them long enough for that revelation to fully hit. Yep. Good. Good, Phil?
So I prayed with someone not long ago, and I haven't followed up with this guy yet. It's been a week, but I was thinking about him right now, and him and I are very different.
Sure.
So how do you overcome? I think it might be fear that maybe has kept me from reaching out, just because there's so much difference.
Yeah.
In personality, just everything. So how do you overcome that and just kind of, or is it a matter of, hey, let me find someone who's more like this guy, and or how do you work that out?
Yeah, both can be possible. So, you know, again, if you identify, it's fear. Why? What am I afraid of? Am I intimidated by them? Right? Is it just that? I just don't know how we'll connect. Right? But how do you connect? You ask questions.
Yeah.
Right? That's just, you know, I mean, just by asking questions, so much can be unlocked. I, you know, talked about your question with the team the other day. Right? But it was valuable and important to them, and they lit up. They were immediately interested in not just answering your question, but then showing you, right? They're doing steps and explaining the why, and all you're doing is listening. That's a way you learn how to ask questions.
Yeah, I think this one was a little bit intriguing or different, just because, like, I prayed with this guy at his door, so I'm wondering, like, would he, like, if I wanted to ask, do I just come to his door now and ask him questions? Or am I going to call him?
Yeah, it depends. Do you have his number, right? So again, is this people skills. You got to develop that skill. So, you know, again, you have to have an awareness. So probably, you know, reaching out with a text, reaching out with a call, you know, just making some more contact, finding out where you can meet up. You know, hey, I want to have you for dinner or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
Just you got to fish a little bit.
Mm.
Put it out there. And so if it's the intimidation, there are some men, they only follow up on people they are above or that they feel they're above. So in other words, if you don't have a lot of confidence and you're not very good with people, you're going to wind up following up on people that are below that. It's like they're going to be oddballs. You got to learn how to connect with a wide range of people. I can connect with young people. I can connect with any ethnic group. I can connect with, you know, any age group. But that's a skill that has to be developed, and you have to overcome your intimidations, which comes back to your, right, your security, your identity, your belonging. Those have to be healthy, not 100%, but be aware of them. So that you can begin to really make an impact with people and have a confidence.
I guess I'm not comfortable in my ability to connect with people that are very different.
Sure. Me. So that goes back to, do I invite someone who's more like them? That's possible. That could be possible. But at the end of the day, you've got to get with people. One of the best advice I got when I went on staff as concert director, and one of our responsibilities at the time was really just getting with people, new converts, but then also people in the church. And the advice I was given was get with people who aren't like you, and it will be very good for you, because eventually you're going to go out and there's going to be a lot of people that are not like you, you know?
Yeah.
And so that was a helpful advice. So one of the ways you can develop the ability to be more flexible with people that are not like you is we have wonderful people in church that also need relationship. That you can say, hey, what's your name? How long have you been in church? How long have you been saved? What was your conversion experience like? And it's amazing through those questions, about them, how much you'll learn, but then you'll begin to identify bridges where you actually connect. Mm. And that's a good way to learn, because there are people who are here, people who are generally nice, right? and we'll give you some time. They'd love to have a conversation. That's a good way to learn. Yep. Thank you. To get a diversity of people. Good. Yep.
Yes. Can you expand a little bit when it comes to follow up when you're praying and there's certain times God puts someone on your heart, whether it's just a thought, and just times where, is that from your experience just God dealing with you about that person, an opening? Is that, have you seen that come to fruition before?
Yeah, sometimes, Lem. Anytime God puts someone on my heart, I have learned to respond to it. So let's say it's a new convert and I just haven't, made contact in the sense of I have their phone number, whatever, but I know their name, I know who they are, and maybe God brings something and I just pray, God strengthen them. Whatever they're dealing with right now, give them encouragement. And then I always pray with new believers, give them revelation. God, that you would inspire and, encourage them, etc., etc. So, but the big one is revelation, that they'll continue to grow in the knowledge of you. So that's that. Secondly is, sometimes there are times where God puts someone on my heart and I'll pray and sometimes feel compelled to reach out. And I've done that. Hey, how are you? How are things going? Maybe that's a pastor. Maybe that's someone in our congregation. Maybe that's following up on someone. Hey, just had you on my mind. How you doing today? And you find, wow, this is crazy. I was just thinking about, I've missed church and I want to go. Or I was just thinking about, all the pressures I'm dealing with. And it's God. And you're that point of contact and a point of encouragement, right? It might be other dynamics. For example, our foreman for SunState that helped us build PV180, I've stayed in contact with him. Great guy. I reach out to him. The other day I reached out to him, just, hey, hope all is well, just thinking about you. And he said, man, perfect timing. My sister just passed away. And, I'll be praying for you guys, in the family. And it was just a good contact, This the other day, God put him on my heart again. And this morning, it was like Friday evening. And then Saturday, he was on my mind. I prayed for him. And then this morning, just felt stirred to send out a text. Trust all is well, man. He's never come to a service. Right, but there's a contact, there's a follow-up, right? So yeah, it can look a lot of different ways that plays out. Yep, good. Good, and yes, sometimes those are Holy Ghost promptings. Micah?
So are there different seasons or times where follow-up is more, that you're able to follow up more than other times? With work or with other things like that?
Yeah. Sure, absolutely. That's possible in everything, isn't it, Micah? Where certain seasons allow you to be more flexible than others, and that's just depends on where you're at. So, but at the end of the day, there are some things that always need to be happening, right? Is while you might be pressed, okay, I can't get with people three times a week like I could before, but I'm going to make time for some once a week. Right? And whatever reasons that looks like. But I think follow-up is valuable no matter where you're at. Spiritually, I think it's important because when you are investing in other people, your focus is outward. It changes things. It changes dynamics. And it keeps that heart for people. Yeah. There's nothing like follow-up. Yeah, go ahead.
You said a follow-up was for establishing relationships? How do you follow up on someone you already have a relationship with and they're not doing too well?
Yeah, then it's the same thing. They're struggling, they're hurting. Relationship goes a long way. How are you? You've been on my mind. Can we get together? Just have you over. And again, you don't have to, so what's going on? Just love them where they're at. Be a friend. It goes a long way. Yep.
In pioneering or taking over a church, how do you balance your time between follow-up and outreaching?
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the big things in a takeover, it's good to get with people and get to know your people. That was one thing we did in Santa Fe right away. Now, it was a smaller work when we took it over, so, you know, I was able to get through the church in a couple weeks, right, of some dinners, just kind of scheduling and getting that done. So, but in getting with them, it was all about them. We want to get to know you, and right, you're investing into them. And then we would ask at the end of dinner, you know, we want to go outreach summertime. Where would be a good place? You know the city. You live here, you know. They'd give a recommendation, and then we'd say, invite them to join us if they wanted. Some did, some didn't. But either way, it was always good if they didn't join us to say, hey, thanks for that recommendation. We were able to get a lot of good witnesses, pray with, you know, whatever. And that was encouraging. Others that came with us heard us witness, and something was kindled again in them. Something was stirred in them. And then when they saw us praying with people, man, they wanted to do more of that, right? And then as we took them out and moved through the church, then they felt comfortable, started having us over, and so you're just continuing relationship. So there's that tension, right? I want to get to know who I'm working with. That's important and valuable. And then I'll know also, as people start coming through, who do I want to help me follow up on these folks? Don't want that person, right? You get a feel. We did the same thing in Rochester, where we started to get with folks, and there was a family in particular that became very instrumental in helping us. They'd host maybe birthday parties, any kind of holiday, any kind of summer barbecue, whatever, host and have people from church over. Now we're able to get with a lot of people, and that was helpful. Very helpful. So you'll find key people in your church even. Okay, they're going to be a big help. And we're helpful to connect us with other people. So
were you purposely having earlier dinners? I'm just thinking through, because sometimes I can follow up, feel like it can carry on.
Yeah, but you know, again, many times when you're just getting to know someone, you know, conversation can only go so far, right? You've asked them about everything you can over a meal's worth, and it just depends. You click with other people, right? So yeah, we'd go to dinner at like, you know, whatever, 5:36, and you know, be there for an hour, and then have a window of time to go outreach, right? It's like right now the sun is setting at, you know, almost 8 o'clock, so you have that hour window. We were taking advantage of it. You're making the most of every opportunity. Yep. Len?
Pastor, can you maybe give some advice how you develop that practical with certain different personalities, being overbearing and follow up versus knowing when to just keep it occasional? And is that just something you prayed for wisdom? Was that just practical prayer? God, help me with this person. Mm-hmm. Just developing that tactic and skill.
Yeah, you learn when you're the more you work with people, the more of a file you develop for personalities, right? So, you know, every now and then you get a personality that does not like dead space, right? They talk about anything and everything and things that don't even apply or connect. And oftentimes I have my yes face on, you know, that's what I call it. I'm open, I'm listening intently. I'll chime in and ask a question or make a comment. I know my comment or my question isn't really going to get acknowledged, and I'm aware of that, and that's okay because they're having a good time, right? All they know is that I'm listening and I'm attentive to them. And that genuine listening, that genuine attentiveness, you're, you know, making some eye contact, you're nodding your head, right? You're doing them right now, naturally, right? Is because those are skills you develop, and they know they're listening, and that gives them enough, you know? And sometimes, like, I really like so-and-so, and it's like, really, man, they didn't say anything. Maybe that's why they liked them, you know? But that's a skill. Some people, they fight that, you know, they have to get a word in, and you know, again, for a lot of different reasons. But it's knowing. I know when I need to talk more. I know when I need to talk less. I know when I need to listen. I know when I need to ask questions. But you just develop that the more you work with people. And then, of course, there's resources that will help with that. You know, books, videos, TED Talks, fill in the blank. You know, you can learn some skills and look for ways to implement them. Yep. Good. Phil?
How do you know the difference between when you're working through communication with someone and especially a new convert, right? And maybe they're one of those people that they're not talking a lot. And so, I mean, for me personally, I can listen pretty good, I think. And when it starts, you know, I have to be talking more. I can get to a point where I can start talking, but I don't have endless conversation. So how do you know where it's like, man, I'm just at my end. I'm trying so hard to keep this conversation going, and they're not even really reciprocating, or is it just I haven't connected with them yet, or that's just how they are? Like,
yeah, it could be any of those. It could be all of those, Phil. So, but the point is, you also need to know when to stop, right? And that's okay. You know, oh, I was only with them for 40 minutes, but maybe that's all they needed, right? Maybe that's all they needed was just that meal, that conversation, and it goes a long way, right? It's not a time thing. Follow-up, connection, and relationship isn't about a length of time, right? Under 25 minutes, nope, you lost them. Over 50 minutes, you went too far. No, it just depends. It's not a formula. So, but you have to learn some outs, right? Is sometimes, well, this was awesome. Thanks for coming. I really appreciate it. And then they feel like, okay, I can leave. Okay, right? Because, you know, maybe they're awkward. Like, I want to go, or I'm ready, you know? So you got to be aware. Maybe they're giving you a social cue that they're done, right? By pulling back. They were into it. They were talking. And now they're pulling back. That should make you aware. Okay, I think they're done. And I'm okay with that. We can be done, right? And so, yeah, it's a skill. And but then you have other opportunities, right? It's not just, oh, I did this, check. No, you continue relationship.
So how do you know the difference between, you know, they listen or you had conversation with them and then you can maybe sense that they're done. It's kind of you barely met them versus they are not interested.
And, yeah, you have to have awareness. Body language will tell you if they're interested or not, right?
Yeah.
Is literally, I worked with someone one time where, you know, they were overbearing on converts. Everybody, they treated the same. It was like, ah, you know? And so I really got to a point, I was like, okay, I think they just don't see it. And so I said, I want you to just talk to me about anything, and I'm going to show you what you're doing, okay? So they start talking, and I'm like, uh-huh. I start looking away, and their head is like following into my eye line, and I'm like, yeah. And I'm turning, and they're walking literally with me. And I said, okay, see what you're doing? They're like, what? I said, yeah. Okay, you legit don't see it. I'm giving you cues that I don't want to talk, and you're not taking them. So you have to have awareness. Body language will tell you if someone's interested or not, if someone's done or not, right? If they stay with you and they're focused at you, right? Even if they're not always looking you in the eye, but they're thinking and ways to connect, that's body language that says, I'm open. If they start closing up and, you know, turning, and that tells you we're done, right? So
how do you know if this is something that you need to work on? Like maybe you weren't able to connect with them and that's why they're not interested,
yeah,
versus just not getting.
Yeah, but there's no formula or app for that. You know, you're just gonna have to work with more people and see why am I connecting with some? And you gotta analyze. I connected really well with that person. Why? That went so, man, we were chatting, shooting the breeze for 2 hours. Why did that go so well? And then over here I couldn't get 5 minutes worth of conversation with them. Sometimes it is personality. Sometimes yours and theirs. Sometimes it's you didn't make a connection. Sometimes it's them. Sometimes you, right? It's like you can't put it in a formula, but pray. God, give me wisdom. God, help me to build quick connections. Our lives are people, so we should learn about them, right? So, yep, but the more you work with, the more you'll learn. Yep. John?
Yeah, how do you redirect the conversation? And what I'm getting at is sometimes I'll get into a conversation, and for example, politics. And I just want to stay away from that, even though I love politics, so that's probably not a real good example. But I want to turn it into something a little bit more productive than worrying about who's going to win the next election. Or who's going to win the World Series. You know, I want to direct it more towards a personal issue. Not saying that they have a personal issue, but, you know, something gospel.
Yeah, but gospel will come up naturally. And that's a mistake guys make. You bring up a good thing there, John, because some people, when they're following up, they think it's got to be Jesus only, right? And so, you know, right now, Euro Cup's happening, and Copa America, both of those tournaments are happening. It's like, hey, have you checked out the, Copa America? No. Right? But have you read John 3:16? there's no flexibility for anything else. No, you talk and no, what? You have a team, you know, and I've never really followed soccer, you know, and you're just gain some understanding, ask some questions, who's in it, you know, whatever. But then as conversation goes, always without fail in all of my follow-up, you talk, barriers and walls come down, and then they go, hey, I had a question. Something about the Bible. Something about the service. So it's because they're relaxed. They know you are interested in them. Now you've shown they can trust you. Right? Versus always trying to steer it. You're not actually listening to them. And they feel that. You're always trying to push it one way. Now, then, too, if things come up, let's say, random examples here. Something comes up trivial, you know, something comes up that you just don't need to speak to, you know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have to speak to it, right? What do you think about, you know, is it going to be Biden or Trump? I don't know. But, hey, you were mentioning that you were looking for a vehicle. How are you going on that? Right? You acknowledge it, you say your opinion, but then something that connects with them and you can really quickly turn that conversation, right, of whatever it is. But again, that comes, you can only have those questions when you've been building relationship, when you've been asking about them, when you've been interested in them. Yep. But again, guys, and the point isn't all just, you know, these tactics. The point of what I'm talking about, too, and what Jesus is doing is he's just getting with them, and that goes a long way. Getting them with them to get them, keep them coming, keep them listening, keep them getting under that preaching so that God can get a hold of their heart. Yep. Micah.
So when a convert starts to pull away from church or just things you see in general that is not really constructive in their life, I know before, like, it's not really good to like, tell them what to do or to like really point things out if they're not open to asking. How do you have wisdom, or like how do you approach that when you're kind of just starting to pull away?
Yeah, I just pray for them, right? Especially if you saw hunger before, especially if there was an appetite for the things of God before. God, I do not know what changed, but you do. And I need you to either reveal it or encourage them to get back into prayer, reading their Bible, coming to church, outreach, whatever that is. God, that you're going to just, whatever they're dealing with, let them talk about it. Sometimes I'll pray that way. God, let them bring up what's been going on. And they will, because God's faithful to work in hearts. And that's the supernatural part of all of this. Like I said, it's not just tactics and you know, only people skills. It contributes, definitely. But we need God. And we need God to let our words not fall to the ground. We need God to help us, give us wisdom, when to speak to things, when to not speak to things, right? And that is the supernatural part of follow-up. Yep. So yeah, what I do, Micah, is I just start praying for them. That's what I do. Yep. Good. Len? Let me get Dan.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So with follow-up, leaving people encouraged is something that you want for them. Are you praying for that from God so that they leave encouraged after you're following up? Are you saying, God, encourage me so I can be an encourager?
Sure.
How are you developing that skill?
Yeah, I think that is absolutely valid, Lem, what you're saying, that God would give you the ability in connecting with people, but then, God, let me make a genuine and authentic connection, right? It just leaves, and you know when it leaves, it's just good. It's just good, right? When we hosted the dinner, my wife was at a baby shower with my daughter, and when we, you know, met back up later that evening, and I'm asking her about the shower, and then she said, how did it go? I said, it was amazing. And I'm just talking about conversations and different things and how well it went, and my daughter's looking at me and she goes, you look like a kid in a Disneyland light. And I said, this lights me up, this gets me excited. And exactly that, I felt, man, it just went so good, right? And so, but, you know, they need revelation. So as good as it went, but God, you've got to do the supernatural part. You've got to do the miraculous, right? You've got to give me more insight, more understanding. Okay, good. Daniel.
Yeah, when you're working with numbers of new converts, do you have like a practical way that you're keeping track of them? And then like, okay, this person's kind of like at a certain level, so maybe I'm going to follow up with them, you know, like reach out to them, just text every couple weeks. And then is there a way you kind of practically...
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, I think that you can only do so much on your own before you need help, maybe, you know. But in the overall, yeah, people you're working with, you feel it out, right? When you're hands-on with people, right, it's hard to forget about them because you're hands-on with them. Right, even in all the responsibilities and duties of life, right, in all that you work out in life, there's things that are still on your radar. You're here this morning in all the responsibilities of life because your mind is on it, right? You'll be here for Sunday school. You'll be here this morning, tonight. You'll be here Wednesday, right? All the different factors, it's on your mind. It's on your radar. That's people. They're on your mind. They're on your radar. And as you're working with them, probably unlikely they're going to fall off the radar if you are hands-on with them, right? And so with that, though, is in a different, maybe if you're in a management position like our concert director who's delegating, and that's where you need more of a some type of something that's going to help you. And yeah, he's got a note and he's got numbers of ways, people that have locked in, people that are fringers, people that aren't part of the church yet, but we're working with. And right, he shares that list with me and we're in contact and he's delegating people. So a list of, I don't know, what's on there, 50 probably easily, people, they're on our radar, right? And I'll ask him from, hey, how is so-and-so? Hey, we're praying for this about that person's team. How did that work out, right? And so it's on our minds. So. If you can orchestrate some type of system, but again, when you are involved, you're going to be aware.
Do you, in those people that kind of are on the fringe, or maybe kind of, they're just less responsive, but there's a little bit of potential.
Sure.
Do you have the strategy of like, okay, I'm going to still reach out to this person?
You always, yeah.
Every month or so.
You always are reaching out, yeah. Maybe as it comes to mind, you know, maybe that's the beauty of our church, you know, is we have so many events and sometimes it's like, you know what, so-and-so, they haven't come, but but they came to an event like this last time. Clearly they're interested in that. I'll reach out and, hey, we're having another event similar to the other one, and they might just come out, right? So, yeah, it's no formulas. You just work it through. Good, good. Clearly an area of need. Good questions. And we'll stop right there. And thank you, guys. Appreciate it.